I'm Tyrese Maxey, and you're listening to the 76ers Insiders Podcast.
This podcast is part of the 76ers Podcast Network, presented by Stern & Cohen Law.
Search 76ers Insiders wherever you get your podcasts. Suffering an injury at work can cause physical pain, but also great uncertainty about your rights. You need to retain a workers' compensation law firm that is a winner like our Sixers. A firm that gets some of the best settlements, but is also willing to go toe-to-toe with the insurance company. No settling on the cheap. This is Philly. We have grit and fight in us. Call the workers' compensation law firm of Stern & Cohen or visit their site sterncohenlaw.com. The consultation is free. Stern & Cohen are the official partners of the 76ers. They'll go ring the insurance company's bell. Welcome back to Sixers in 60. Tuesday nights on 97.5 The Fanatic, weekly discussion about the Philadelphia 76ers. That would be weird if I said a different team on a show called Sixers in 60. I'm Matt Murphy along with Nick Stauskas and Lauren Rosen. We're about to hear from new Sixer Cam Payne, who will join the show. And it's that name is fun to say because I sometimes write campaign as the NBA season, and that is his name. So he's a 40% shooter on the campaign.
The campaign. And I did check with him ahead of the interview that you guys are about to hear. He does prefer Cam over Cameron.
Okay, good.
I gave him the opportunity to be Cameron Payne, but he wants to be a campaigner, and I'm cool with that.
That's great. That is actually good to know. I wrote it up as Cameron a bunch of times so far. But Cam Payne talks a little about Tyrese Maxey. He also talks a lot about the logistics surrounding the trade from the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah, that was cool. And obviously you guys are going to hear the interview shortly, so I don't want to spoil too much of it. But I asked him to sort of take us from point A, waking up in Milwaukee at his place in Milwaukee, to point Z, which was sitting next to him courtside in Cleveland. And he went A to Z, which was awesome. He talked about finding out, when finding out turns into something official, when something official turns into getting on a plane. And my favorite part, the last part I'll summarize, was that he and Buddy Hield actually carpooled to Philly via private plane, but he took off from Milwaukee, stopped in Indiana to pick up his buddy, Buddy, and then the two of them took off and joined us in Philly. It was a whirlwind, and it was cool to hear about it sort of firsthand.
Well, yeah, let's hear it from campaign, and then we'll get the NBA vet Nick Stauskas' experience with this type of situation. But here is new Sixer Cam Payne.
Cam Payne joining us on Sixers in 60 and 76ers Insiders. Cam, first of all, I got to know, these last few days in your life, can you sort of take us inside the progression of waking up in Milwaukee to going to bed in Philadelphia and playing in your first Sixers game?
It was pretty crazy. That first day, I was chilling in my crib. We had shoot around in Milwaukee, and I was getting ready to play against Minnesota. And, you know, the trade deadline ended at 2. It's about like 1:30. I get a call, and my agent like, Philly, we going to Philly. And it was like, wow, like I was just in shock for probably a good like 30 minutes, just constantly on my phone, like, has it dropped yet? Then I seen Pat Bev drop the news, and I was like, oh, okay, so it's real. It's me for him, because at first I didn't know who for, if anybody was coming with me. So I was just kind of shocked right there, and I kind of really just sat on my bed for like an hour, and then my agent was like, okay, somebody from the Sixers about to call you. They said they about to send a plane to come get you. Go and get ready. Be ready at 6 o'clock. And I was like, dang, 6 o'clock. I just started scrambling, started finding random stuff to pack. Made sure I grabbed my video game and my headphones, though. Then we got on the plane, went to Indiana to pick up Buddy. Newly acquired Buddy Hill, same with me. We on the plane just chatting it up like, man, bro, we Sixers finally. Buddy was like, man, I can't believe I finally got here. I've been trying to get to Philly for a minute. Man, we kind of just chopped it up, watched a couple games on the plane on the way. Then got to Philly, and it was super late. Had to get some rest. My agent was telling me, hey, you playing tomorrow, and they ain't got that many guys. And I was like, what? Let's get it. So then I wake up to all these messages. Cam, take your physical. Cam, take your physical. And I'm like, Cam, take your physical, man. I'm trying to play tonight, too. But that next day, it was crazy. I had to wake up early, get a physical, so I can get cleared to play. We had a shoot around at like 4:30. Got like five or six plays. Got everybody's name. I'm still messing up people's name. But then we had the game. I ain't had no shoes. It was kind of crazy. My shoes were late. They didn't make it. They probably just now getting to Philly. So I had to wear a brand new pair of shoes. I started for the first time. My first time getting 20 points. So in my meeting, I was like, man, shout out to Pat Bev, man, for getting his physical done. So I had to use that little reverse psychology. So I had to shout out to him. But outside of that, it was pretty smooth. I've been traded before. This was probably, I'd say, the smoothest. I got traded when I was younger, and it was way more crazier. This time a little bit older. I knew what was going on. I knew all the things I needed. So it was pretty smooth transition. Wish we would have won the game. It would have gave a little cherry on top. But it was all good. Meeting the guys, got here safely, played a pretty solid game.
Listen, if we learned anything from physical gait, it's that when a team loses a competitor, sometimes they gain another one. And both of y'all wanted to get out there court.
Yeah, we were both eager to get out there. I could tell just by that tweet he made. So I was like, all right, let me make sure I bring it tonight. So I can make sure I hit him back with this. I was going to tweet him. And I was like, nah, let's wait till after the game, see how the game go.
Fair enough. Campaign, you said you picked up Buddy Hield in the plane from. Mm-hmm. So we start in Milwaukee, we fly to Indiana, then we fly to Philly. Yep. People don't really understand how this NBA life works. It moves so quickly. Uh-huh. When you land in Indiana to get Buddy, what are the first sort of things that you guys say to each other?
We kind of know each other. But first thing, we was like, man, this is crazy, bro. I was like, bro, I just came from Milwaukee, bro. 40-minute flight, came to pick you up. We on the real taxi service. But it was pretty dope. That was my first time being a part of something like that. Get on the PJ, going somewhere, then going somewhere else to pick up a teammate. So that was pretty cool. I'd be able to tell people when I get a little bit older.
And then here we are on your first road trip as a 76er, getting to know Tyrese Maxey, who's returned to the lineup. Mm-hmm. After your first game, you said that you thought you were quick, but then you watched Tyrese Maxey, and he is quick. What's it been like to be up close and personal with him now for a few days?
Nah, it's super cool. From the outside, you know, you always hear, like, that man always smiling, always got good energy. Now that I'm up close, like, yeah, he got that. And that's good to be around. Because I'm pretty much the same. I love having a lot of fun. I like to keep it light, L-I-T-E. So everything is cool and fun. But, nah, he way faster than me. A lot of people call me Turbo. Like, that's my nickname because I play so fast. But him, he like Turbo Squared. He goes so crazy. He too fast. But, shout out to him. Big time all-star. Shout out to the all-star, man. That's All-Star Maxey.
All-Star Maxey, indeed. So from one Turbo to another Turbo, we're grateful to have both of you here. Campaign, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you. Appreciate you guys.
All right. Thanks again to Campaign. Lauren Rosen, thank you. Matt Murphy back with former Sixer Nick Stauskas. And a lot of that was trade talk with Campaign coming from the Milwaukee Bucks on deadline day, something that you, Nick, are quite familiar with. And for those who don't know, what is the record that you hold?
I believe it's unofficial because I someone may have,
because someone told him this one time, so he believes that it's true.
Well, when it happened in 2019, I was told that I was tied with Luke Ridnour for most times traded at one trade deadline. And
okay,
so
walk us through it.
Then I believe the number was 4. And so I got traded 4 times in, I believe, like 55, 60-ish hours. So I went. I was in Portland.
Wow.
Got the call. Well, not got word that I was headed to Cleveland.
How did you get that word?
After practice, we brought it in as a team, 1, 2, 3, family, whatever. And then I was going to my side basket to shoot my free throws. And the GM goes, hey, do you have a second, Nick? I got to talk to you real quick. And this guy never talked to me. I was never really that much of a priority. So I'm like, oh, something's up. Sends me to Cleveland.
So what you're saying is you said 1, 2, 3 family, and then someone informed you that you were no longer part of the family.
They cut me
on 4.
They cut me from the family and shipped me off to Cleveland. And this is post LeBron Cleveland. So it was not a good Cleveland situation. So I get there. and they had a game like the next day, and they go, don't dress tonight because, you know, we might still be making moves and we're not really sure. And I was like, oh, okay, great. So I sit there for the game.
This is days later, right?
This is like the next day.
February 4th to February 7th had gone by between the Cleveland trade and the next one.
Well, I believe I was technically on the Cavs for like 2 or 3 days. Yes. Oh. And so I had a practice with them.
But you sat on the bench. You sat on the bench. In street clothes.
Yes, in street clothes. And then I got word a couple of days later, I was in the hotel, got word the night before trade deadline that I was traded to the Houston Rockets.
What hotel? You were in Cleveland staying in a hotel, or you were on the road with
I was
the
in Cleveland
okay.
at a hotel. And then so I called my agent. And I was like, oh, so I guess, okay, so I'm flying to Houston tomorrow. And he was like, well, no, not really, because I think Houston's making more moves. So just stay put. Tomorrow's trade deadline. We'll know more when you wake up. So I like go to sleep that night in Cleveland, a member of the Houston Rockets. And I wake up and checking. I'm like refreshing Woj's Twitter page every like 30 seconds, because that's how I was finding. That's how I found out about the Rockets trade. It was through Woj. So I'm like, he's the fastest source. And so sure enough, I was actually taking a shower and my wife was in the hotel room. Like she was like laying down in bed and she goes, oh no, it happened again. And I was like, what? And she was like, we're going to Indiana. And I was like, what? And she was like, yeah, Woj just said you got traded to Indiana. So I like run out the shower. I get my phone, call my agent. I was like, okay, so Indiana, like that's where we're going. And he was like, well, no, I think he goes, actually, I think Indiana is going to waive you. So like technically you're just going to be a free agent. And so I was like, all right, well, like just can you someone please tell me what's going on here? Like I need some kind of like clarity as to like where I'm going to end up in all of this. And so I went that whole day pretty much just like a free agent in the middle of the season, which was very weird for me. And the next day, I can't even make this up. I'm still in Cleveland. And now I'm like getting
mad.
You've
been on three teams, but you've been in Cleveland the whole time.
But now I'm getting mad because I'm like, why am I here in Cleveland of all places? Like, can I go back to Toronto or like Philly or something?
Where I feel like other people have probably said that while sitting in Cleveland before. But
come on.
Well,
just saying.
And I mean, it's not, and it was winter, it's cold. And so sure enough, I get a call from Kobe Altman, who is the general manager of the Cavs. And and I'm a free agent. He goes, hey, Nick, he goes, where are you? And I was like, I'm at the hotel that you're paying for. Like, why? What's going on? He was like, well, like you're a free agent now. And like, when we traded you, it really wasn't anything personal. We just like had to get the draft picks or whatever. And
bring them
like,
back.
He was like, do you, you know, would you be open to just like staying
extending
here in Cleveland?
Extending your stay?
And I was like, you know what? That would probably be easiest that I just stay here. Like I already have all my stuff here. It's just going to be much smoother if we do that. So, you know, ended up staying in Cleveland. But that was my trade deadline story, which was pretty wild.
So the record holder for most times traded at one deadline, Nick Stauskas?
I believe so.
Well, you share it apparently with Wade Baldwin potentially, because he was in all these trades with you,
Wade
according to Basketball Reference.
Yes, Wade was in all these trades.
High school teammate of Carl Anthony Towns at St. Joe's Metuchen. Wade Baldwin.
Was he in the hotel with you as well?
It was weird. I like just didn't end up seeing him that much.
Because he was also probably going through it while you were. Yeah,
through it. Mm-hmm. I also forgot to mention this part of it, that my wife, so she was my fiance at that time. We were engaged. When I was in Portland, she transferred from Delaware Law School to University of Oregon Law School to finish out her last year. And so she was left with the choice, stay in Portland by herself and finish out law school, or chalk up the whole school year and just come with me to Cleveland. She chalked it up and came with me to Cleveland. And it was definitely just like a very tough time, which a lot of fans maybe don't understand, like all the stuff behind the scenes of like these guys that have families and kids, and their kids may be in school. There's so many other factors that go into it that a player might not always like seem happy at the very beginning when he gets traded, because it's like, you're shocked, and then you're all of a sudden putting your family in a tough position too. So hats off to like these teams though that are able to kind of coordinate it and like make the transition as smooth as possible. But for Cam and Buddy, I feel like these are great great situations for them in Philly here.
Yeah, it's overwhelming. And I'm glad you said that, because think about it, even again, just let's put this in context of the Sixers with Cam and Buddy last week. They've played in three games as 76ers here sitting on Tuesday the 13th. They've played in three games as Sixers, but today was the first time that they stepped foot in the practice facility, their own practice facility.
That's amazing. So, and Cam was like, it's pretty nice.
He was like, it's pretty nice in here. So if you think about it, Thursday is the trade deadline. Friday is the day that famously everybody's getting their physicals done on all sides of every trade, as you just heard Cam Payne talking about. But they get those physicals done and go straight to the arena where the team plays and then departs immediately post-game for Washington, D.C. So at this point, these guys have been in like four cities in like 24 hours, right? Because you're bopping around from wherever you started. If you're Cam Payne, you're making a stop in Indianapolis to pick up your buddy and keep going on to Philadelphia. So they go through the whole day. They play in the game. They get on a plane. They go to D.C. They wake up. They play again to get on another plane to go to, where were we just? Cleveland, famously, as was Nick Stauskas.
Was Nick there?
Nick was still in the hotel 5 years later. But when you think about all of that moving, right, and those are just for the players who both have families. And obviously, I don't know what their situations are in terms of like dependents, but there are other people when someone who's important in your life gets thrown in this sort of washing machine, hamster wheel, whatever you want to call it, going city to city to city to city, and you no longer live wherever you lived 72 hours ago, it's a lot. And so credit to those guys, to bring it back to where we started this conversation, for playing really well in these first few games after a whirlwind of a deadline. And hearing about your experience only further proves what a whirlwind these days can be.
Matt Murphy, Nick Stauskas, and Lauren Rosen here on Sixers in 60. And Cleveland is a fitting city for this discussion, because that's the Sixers' most recent opponent. That was the Sixers' most recent opponent as they snapped the 9-game winning streak. The Cavs had won 17 of 18. The Sixers did it without four starters in that game because Tobias Harris was scratched. So an impressive win any way you look at it for the Sixers. Buddy Hield was a big part of it. And Lauren, his warm-up routine has already caught our attention, because he gets out there early and to the arena quite early.
He sure does. And it's an interesting thing, because he sort of had this reputation, right? Because we've seen Buddy Hield as an opponent over the years, if you've been in Philadelphia like we have for a few years, famously wanting to get out on the court. And as people know, there's Flyers games that take place in the same building, sometimes concerts. Sometimes there is no court to get onto. But Buddy wants to try no matter what, which has really been cool to see. So for context, everybody goes over to the game a couple hours before. There's usually three, there's sort of like a heated arrival, right? Three different buses, bus one, bus two, bus three. But even bus one does not leave early enough for Buddy Hield, who likes to leave over an hour before bus one does, to just get onto the court and get reps. It's one of the first things he said to us, Matt, on his first day in Philadelphia, talking about wanting to get onto the court, because the 15-minute little window that each player gets to warm up ahead of each game, he feels is not enough. A, because he wants to feel super prepared for the game, but B, because he just loves being out there. And it was interesting to sort of tie a few themes together. He said throughout the craziness of the trade deadline, he was anxious all day and all he wanted to do was just get out onto the court to have that peace. And so it's been cool to watch him do that now for a few games. But the preparation that he puts in before every game, I don't know how he doesn't get tired before. Obviously, it's working for him. I'm not questioning the strategy, but he is out there sweating. He is putting up shot after shot after shot. I got to watch just part of it ahead of the Sixers' big win in Cleveland that we've been alluding to. But he really puts the work in. It's been awesome to see. And great to see how much he loves the game.
One play that Sixers fans really are pointing out from the Sixers-Cavs game is a skip pass that Buddy had. Just the quick decisions he makes. He gave it to Council on the other side of the floor, who missed a three. He like relocated to the corner, gets it back, falling away, hits a three. Like adding that element to the offense, where quick decision making, but also his shooting prowess. I mean, here on February 13th, 2024, he's got 1,855 threes. He's 22nd all-time in NBA history, a 40% mark. But that play and anything else from the Cleveland game, what did you see from Nick, from the Sixers?
Well, I think for Buddy specifically, what's impressed me is how seamlessly he's fit in terms of chemistry and just making the right plays and right reads out there with these guys. A lot of people might not fully realize how difficult it is to be picked up and dropped onto a new team in the middle of a season and not knowing maybe the plays and the style of play and just fitting in with the overall chemistry, it's difficult. It's something that I really struggled with, you know, being traded in the middle of the year. So for him to come in and, again, make those kinds of quick decisions and reads and find the right guy at the right time, that's what's impressed me most. And going off of what Lauren said as well, I think it, you know, someone like Buddy, who's, you mentioned, top 25 all time in three pointers made, that doesn't happen by accident. And so hearing these stories about the preparation and the work ethic and the joy for the game, it's refreshing to hear that, because I think a lot of these kids growing up need to understand that these guys that they see playing at such a high level, it doesn't happen by accident ever. It's always because of the preparation, because of the hard work, because of the love of the game. And so I've always been a fan of Buddy Hield, but that was just a cool story to know that, you know, he's just that dedicated to go out there every night.
And he has the added motivation of wanting to be a role model for kids in the Bahamas as well, which I'm sure plays a part in it. And I don't think he learned all of the plays that Nick Nurse likes to run when he played for him in the Rising Stars game at All-Star Weekend a couple years back, whereas Cam Payne knew the plays by name because he played in Milwaukee for Adrian Griffin, who was Nick Nurse's lead assistant coach in Toronto. So he came in with more knowledge of what the Sixers like to run, did Cameron Payne. But Oubre and Hield had 24 against Cleveland, nullifying Donovan Mitchell's 36. The Sixers hold on to win 123-121 for this fantastic 32nd win that we've been talking about. But it did get interesting down the stretch. I mean, they were up double digits after the Oubre three, and then Nick Nurse has been going to this intentional foul up by three, which I agree with. Do you also agree that if you can get it quick enough, but you got to make your free throws on the other side as well, which they missed one, but
it's the intentional foul when you're up three. It's really difficult because guys have gotten so good at sometimes trying to shoot it while you foul them and anticipating that. So if you can safely do it without that, I think it is the right move. I just think in today's NBA, everyone's so smart, so well scouted that it's becoming more difficult to do that. But yeah, the last minute 30 seconds of the Cleveland game was absolutely wild and just crazy that it could go from 10 points to 1 point in the snap of a finger. And give credit to the Cavs for, you know, fighting and having that full court press and turning them over. But that one possession where they got all the offensive rebounds, the Cavs did, and, you know, three after three after three, and then finally Mitchell was
the third one,
knock it down. It was tough to watch, but glad that the Sixers were able to pull it out. Shout out to B-Ball Paul for that incredible defensive play on the last possession. Hopefully many more of those to come.
He was jumping with joy.
I saw that.
Mo Bamba, his backup at this point in the season, running over, one of the first people to congratulate Paul Reed at the end of that Cleveland game. And you hear it on these airwaves all the time, Tom McGinnis, when the Nick Nurse-led team is intentionally fouling up by three. Tom is always adamantly saying, get to him quick, get the foul before he even tries to shoot the ball. So that's what they've been doing in these situations like Utah and Cleveland this year. Some of the clutch play, Lauren, was Ricky Council, the fourth, who took pride in those free throws that he made at the end of the game. They needed every single point in the two-point win.
A really special trip overall for Ricky Council, who, of course, had his career high and first career double-double. 19 and 10. And then rose to the occasion again for the second time in as many games in Cleveland down the stretch. Two free throws. It was funny, after the game, Tyrese Maxey gave Ricky Council the fourth a lot of credit for making both of his free throws, because between the pair of them, there were four clutch free throw opportunities down the stretch. Ricky made both of his while Tyrese split his one and one. But then cool, of course, to hear Ricky also talk about it, because he's a confident guy. He's been working in order to get to that point of confidence. But the way that he discussed his clutch free throws down the stretch in Cleveland, he said, "This is the moment I have been waiting for. Honestly, that's what I said to myself. A big shot to help us beat the number two team in the East. I wanted those so bad." And cool to see him step to the line. He said that he was able to execute similarly in the tournament during his time in college. So he has been in a clutch free throw shooting opportunity before, but he was gratified and cool always, of course, to see hard work pay off in that way.
I'm going to take credit for reminding him about the March Madness performance.
I love that for you. Take the credit. Why not?
Nothing to do with his free throws, but at Summer League, he was on the 76ers Insiders podcast, and he told me that he works on free throws all the time when he's tired, and he either goes 9 for 10 or 10 for 10. If he doesn't, he starts over. He went 10 for 11 in Arkansas's upset of number one seeded Kansas last March, 5 for 6 in the final 23 seconds of a tie game for Arkansas to beat the Kansas Jayhawks, and then they played the eventual champion UConn in the Sweet 16. So he's only that little removed from playing in big time college games, and now he's doing it at the NBA level for the Sixers. I think he also, I mean, there's got to be some, I don't know if there's motivation when he's playing in the NBA, but he should have been in the G League All-Star game, which is at All-Star weekend, the up next game. Somehow was averaging 25 and didn't make that game, Ricky Council the fourth. But that leads us nicely into Tyrese Maxey's first All-Star Weekend in Indianapolis, where he will take part in the Skills Challenge. So let's talk about these competitions. We'll get to the three-point contest and the dunk contest, but there are three teams for the Skills, and it's a team full of three top picks, Anthony Edwards, Paolo Banchero, and Victor Wembanyama. Team Pacers, Tyrese Haliburton, Benedict Mathurin, and Miles Turner. And Team All-Stars, Trae Young, Scotty Barnes, and the Sixers' own Tyrese Maxey. Let's get Lauren's pick out of the way early for this one.
He said, let's get it out of the way early, because we all know who Lauren's going to pick on this one. And if you've ever listened to me over the last three-plus seasons, at least, you know that I'm going to go, I can't go against young Tyrese Maxey, who will be appearing in his first All-Star game the night after, of course. But I love the Tyrese Maxey, Scotty Barnes redemption arc, because if you were watching Tyrese's Rising Stars performance, you would know that he and Scotty Barnes really struggled in a similar skills challenge, and Scotty took to Instagram after his team was announced to say that they're going to need Trae Young's help on all the floaters because they struggled from point blank range in that one. If you guys don't know what I'm talking about, take some time to Google Scotty Barnes, Tyrese Maxey, Rising Stars. It was hilarious. The two of them were so delightful and just so bad. And they have become, respectively, All-Stars, earned a ton of respect in this league. I love the redemption arc. I'm going Tyrese, Scotty, and Trae in the Skills Challenge.
Worth noting that Tyrese Maxey is the only true All-Star on that team, because Barnes and Trae Young were replacement All-Stars for the East for Embiid and Julius Randle. I'm going to make a Nick Stauskas prediction here for his pick, because he watches so much TJ McConnell Pacers that he may select Team Pacers here.
The reason why I'm actually not going with
Team Pacers, because TJ is not on the team.
Oh. Well,
one, because TJ is not on the team. But then I also feel like, and this is nothing against Miles Turner, I just don't think that Miles Turner is going to do as well in that setting of a skills challenge. My pick is team top picks. Like, I just think Banchero, Edwards, Wembanyama, I think that group, they're young, they're hungry, they're going to want to show out. I think that's the group that's going to win. But I'm also kind of hoping for a Maxey win as well. So,
just not Team Pacers. Forget about Team Pacers. I think Team Top Picks is going to win as well, and I think Wembanyama in the Skills Challenge is going to win social media.
Yeah, I think they specifically made that team to win. I think the NBA would like that as well, maybe. I'm just going to throw that
They're
up.
They're rigging the Skills Challenge.
They're just stacking the deck in their favor. I don't know. Might be wrong on that.
All right. Final couple minutes here. Matt Murphy, Nick Stauskas, Lauren Rosen on Sixers in 60. The three-point contest. The field, and then our picks. Malik Beasley, Jalen Brunson, Tyrese Haliburton, Damian Lillard, Lowry Markkanen, Donovan Mitchell, Karl Anthony Towns, and Trae Young. Who you got?
My clear winner is going to be Damian Lillard.
Repeat?
I just think
it would be a repeat. Yep.
I just think that Damian Lillard is, other than Steph Curry, the best shooter in the NBA, and he doesn't get enough credit for it because Steph has set the standard at a certain level. But I also think Donovan Mitchell and Jalen Brunson have a chance. Those are my runner-ups.
Lauren?
I got to go the same as Nick Stauskas, which makes for bad programming, we didn't consult. I looked at my watch and I saw it. Yep. Mm-hmm, Dame time. I'm going with Dame.
I have a stat for my pick of his teammate, Malik Beasley of the Milwaukee Bucks, who is 51% on corner threes this season on the second most attempts, 135. And I feel like it always comes down to the corner racks, and he's above 50% from the corner. And he's talked a lot about wanting to be in the three-point contest. So
but
I've
in
got
a pressure situation, Dame's shooting numbers this year famously down quite a bit from three, hovering around 34%. But he has experience in these high-pressure moments. And Matt, where in the NBA is there more pressure than All-Star Saturday night?
Maybe the dunk contest. No, the three-point contest is cool. But
I was kidding, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Dunk contest, I'm going with the Mac McClung repeat narrowly over Jaime Jaquez Jr., who did beat current Sixer KJ Martin and current Atlanta Falcons receiver Drake London in a high school basketball dunk contest. But McClung, repeat? No.
I don't think he has enough new dunks to win it, so I'm going to go...
He's got tons.
I'm going to go Jaylen Brown, only because... He was my teammate, and I just think it's cool that an All-Star is finally agreeing to do it.
Nick and I, again, we did not consult before this when we made the same picks, but I picked it for a different reason. You mentioned an All-Star participating in the dunk contest. It's been a minute, and in my opinion, if I were Jaylen Brown, I wouldn't be the All-Star to come back into the dunk contest if I didn't have some tricks in my bag. And so I'm excited to see what he was imagining when he decided, you know what, yeah, I am going to do the dunk contest.
Well, we shall find out. Thank you both. Sixers in 60, Tuesday nights at 6 on 97.5, The Fanatic. You can check out the 76ers Insiders podcast as well. Thanks to our producer, Tom Alvord. For Lauren Rosen and Nick Stauskas, I'm Matt Murphy. Thanks for listening.